And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Moving into the final part of the second hour here. We're on number two of the Triple Dipper, defense spending. So, listen, that interview we just had there with Senator Tuberville, he sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee. And if you're not familiar, we have Congressman Mike Rogers also, who represents what I would call like the eastern edge of Alabama mostly, running from about Anniston, Calhoun County, straight down the line to Lee County, where Auburn is, and all that area in between, and some kind of like into St. Clair, that area. All that to say, Congressman Mike Rogers is very likely going to be the next chairman of House Armed Services. That's a big deal. So we have great representation for military legislative affairs for Alabama. Now, Congressman Rogers came out with a statement that was published in Yellowhammer News just in the last few days. Storyline here from Yellowhammer: House-approved defense bill includes wins for Alabama. So some things are in the bill you might want to know about. By the way, not every Republican's happy with this bill, just so you know. There are some that believe it was porked up, and I'm sure it probably was because it's in D.C. Some things that were in it, though, that will have a direct impact on Alabama. First of all, it was an $847 billion bill, all right? It was an increase over that of the amount that was requested by the Biden administration, because the Biden administration, much like the Obama-Biden administration, has been cutting back on military funding. So Congress, in a bipartisan fashion, by a vote of 350 to 80, bumped that up to $847 billion. I want to say it was like $47 billion more than what the president had asked for. So Congressman Mike Rogers, Republican from Calhoun County, he played a big role in this, and his statement said, "This year's NDAA makes critical investments in our military to maintain our overmatch with China, from boosting deterrence to securing our supply chain. It demonstrates strength in the face of China's threats." He also said, "I'm also proud this year's NDAA supports our service members by repealing the COVID vaccine mandate, as well as providing a boost in service member pay and allowances." Congressman Gary Palmer also chimed in on that. He praised the work of Republicans to repeal the vaccine mandate, saying, "It's critical that we continue to fund and strengthen our military, especially at this crucial time when China in particular is an ever-growing threat. This legislation repeals the unnecessary vaccine mandate, which will help mitigate the slump in our recruitment and retention." So those things are in the bill. But what else is in the bill? Like, all right, it's funding. Funding always goes to things and to people, right? Things and people. Well, there's definitely going to be some new funding for the Anniston Army Depot. The Defense Logistics Agency warehouse there is going to get upfunded. There's a new funding line for Auburn University's got a battery research program because they're, of course, they're looking at, you know, how to strengthen and lengthen the time that batteries will help, you know, power military equipment. Probably going to be some in there about green energy, but we'll see. Increase in authorized funds for armored multipurpose vehicle in procurements. That's going to affect our National Guard, I'm sure. Increase in authorized funds for Striker upgrades. I'm not sure if we have Strikers anywhere in the Alabama National Guard, but I do know this. Anniston Depot is probably going to be involved in some of the enhancements to armored vehicles like the Abrams tank and Strikers. It'll also investment in accelerating the depot and shipyard maintenance. Well, that's, you look down in Mobile, the Port of Mobile is a major shipbuilding area, and we're looking at enhancements for both, I think. It reverses Joe Biden's cuts to the procurement of new aircraft and combat vehicles. Yay. It improves test and evaluation to expedite the fielding of advanced capabilities. What that basically means is the development and acquisition of new weapons systems and weapons capabilities. Putting a new vehicle inspection station at Maxwell Air Force Base. I'm not sure how big a deal that is, but it's on there. It also, by the way, it upfunds Montgomery Regional Airport, where they base the F-35s in the Alabama Air National Guard. So a lot of things coming to Alabama in this regard, and I'm sure it'll be around across the board. It also increases funding for military housing and, of course, a pay increase and pay allowances for military personnel. Now, the House Freedom Caucus is not entirely satisfied. Representative Chip Roy, who I think the world of, he had an issue with this. He said he was irritated that he had a 4,400-page bill for $860 billion that was dropped on the House floor and given less than 48 hours to actually read it, unless you were on the committees that worked on it. And he said, that's an insult. And I don't disagree with that. He says, our military should be focused on defending the Republic and defeating our enemies, full stop. But the bill included things like the reauthorization of the Coral Reef Conservation Act. Why was that in there? Because it was a pork thing designed to get a vote from somebody. That's exactly why. Taxpayer funds to, quote, combat vaccine hesitancy abroad. Really? And a mandate to transition non-tactical military vehicles to electric vehicles. Okay, well, at least they're non-tactical, because I was getting a little concerned about how they're going to possibly make a Humvee stay charged up in the field. It also, by the way, he said, and this is what Coach Tuberville and I just talked about, it greenlights the Pentagon's move to start funding abortion travel for service members and their families, which is ridiculous. And my recollection is that's a violation of federal law, which I believe the senator said also. All right, we got a little more on this, some things that are in the bills and things that are not in the bill. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude said, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Boomer, hour number three, dude.
I just looked down and you were like, we're going into hour number three. I said, no, we're not.
Goodness, this day has flown by. Hey, listen, we're in number two of the triple dipper, defense spending, things that are happening in the defense budget. I got to tell you, I got a little bit of heartburn on one of the things that's not in there. So apparently, I mean, Boomer, have you ever seen, it's a ground attack aircraft. It's the Air Force flies it. It's called the A-10 Warthog. You ever seen it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Listen, it's the most unusual looking. That's a sexy plane, man.
Oh man.
And have you ever seen a live fire with one?
No.
Listen, when A-10 comes overhead, you just feel safer. As a former ground pounder, I'll just tell you, when an A-10 comes overhead, you just feel safer. And if you ever seen one do live fire, they've got a Gatling gun that sticks out of the nose of this thing, and it just comes in on target, and I just thought it goes, and things disappear.
Wow.
Like, literally, things disappear. And what's crazy is, if you watch it do the live fire, it's on its approach to the target. And as it comes in on target and it lights up that Gatling gun, I swear, the first time I ever saw it, it looked like the plane stopped in midair because of the recoil of the Gatling. It's like the plane bucked.
Wow.
I don't know how that happens, but.
Is this it right here?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right there. Yeah.
Wow.
Man, there's, that's cool. It's A-10s doing gun runs is something to behold, and that sound it makes is so distinctive, and the guys who are on the ground always feel better knowing that there's either a Spectre overhead or an A-10 Warthog on station, and it appears that after much ado, because listen, this has been a battle. So the Air Force wants to retire the A-10. It's not sexy enough for them. They want something that's more fly-by-wire and electronics and all kinds of, you know, smooth lines. Well, the A-10 is like, I don't know, it's like the classic muscle car next to the modern Corvette, but nonetheless, it's just good. Well, the new NDAA, it appears, is going to allow the Air Force to finally retire a part of its A-10 fleet. That's literally been a battle. The DOD battling with Congress Well, it appears that the NDAA, having passed the House, has a provision in it that does allow consent for the Air Force to go ahead and retire one of its Air National Guard squadrons stationed at Fort Wayne Air National Guard Base in Indiana, and they'll get replaced with F-16s. So, see what they're doing? Replacing the A-10 with the F-16s. Why? Because, I don't know, it looks sexier to them, I guess. No, not to the ground pounders.
I mean, that's pretty cool just looking at it.
We like it when the Warthog comes in low and slow and just lights things up, man. Got a caller on the line? I do. Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how are you doing today, bud?
Mighty fine, and I hope you gentlemen are too, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
The A-10 Warthog, before I hit NCO level and everything, I was actually at Biggs Army Airfield outside of El Paso, Texas, and I would be guarding a pair of those planes on occasion.
Oh, yeah.
Getting to put my hand on the outside of them and look at them, and then when I was actually in the tank, in the field, yes, we want that slow and accurate flyover.
Yeah.
And it was, oh, man, those things are so amazing, and the people that fly them too,
yeah,
which are Air Force, not Army, even though they were guarding us in cavalry regiment.
But there's something about an A-10 pilot that I think he identifies more with the guys on the ground sometimes than he does with other members of the flying force and in the Air Force, don't you think?
I imagine so, but I never got to meet one of the fine folks.
Well, they're edgier. Like the A-10 pilots always seem a little edgier because they know their mission is to get way down low where you know, surface-to-air missiles can hurt on a slow-flying aircraft, but they will be in the mix with you, and they'll light things up for you. And
Yeah, they get down there to where all the little light anti-aircraft can get to you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the missiles.
Small arms fire.
I'm talking about bullets.
Absolutely. Hey, Brian, thanks for your service, as always. Yeah. Thanks for your service, man. Thanks for the call. I got one more to jump on real quick.
Bye.
Hey, line two, is that, hey, Burma, you ready for that one? Is that Sparky? Sparky's on line two. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm good. Happy Tuesday to you and Boomer. And I thought I'd share in on the A-10 Thunderbolt II Warthog love. I was a scout pilot in the Army, graduated in flight school in 79, worked with the A-10s in joint air attack team operations.
Yeah.
You know, scouts and Cobras and A-10s. And I just absolutely in love with the aircraft and those people, and worked with them for so many years. And it was on the scrap heap several times over the decades.
Yeah.
And every time something would happen where, especially the first Gulf War, where it just had its day in the sun. And I remember watching out of King Fahd, watching A-10s heavily laden with bombs and the ordnance, and then coming back wings empty during the start of the air war, and just cheering, you know, guys just cheering and jumping up and down.
Yeah.
It was so flipping cool.
Yeah. And they are literally tank destroyers. If they come in hard, they can literally take out an armored column. And they did it, didn't they? And that highway of death towards the end of the Gulf War, the A-10s kind of wrecked that place, didn't they?
Absolutely. They went up there and had a ball. They had a lot of fun, but they also destroyed a whole lot of enemy armor and trucks and equipment. And I don't know, man, just so good. Hey, did I understand that this defense appropriation bill passed today? What, and did, was the immunization mandate removed, or what happened?
It didn't pass today. Senator Tuberville was on a few minutes ago. He said that it is due to come up this week, though. They think they'll pass it by Thursday or Friday. And currently, he's saying that the vaccine mandate is out of it, but that Senate Republicans are questioning why they've not allowed for back pay and reinstatement of those who lost their careers because of it.
Roger. Well, there has to be specific wording saying it's not only it's out of there, but it's gone, and people are allowed to come back and allowed to serve in good science and good conscience.
Absolutely. I would think so, too. And speaking of which, Sparky, I just had somebody text in that said that you're retiring, and so if that's the case, man, blessings on you and happy retirement.
Yeah, 18 days. I will be leaving the workforce, going on Social Security, and becoming a complete and utter pain in the butt to your government. So if you think I don't hold my tongue now,
Well, listen, man, that's not 18 days. That's 17 and a wake up. So blessings on you. And thanks for your years of service.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. We'll see you. Oh, that's as good. Listen, there's a ton of stuff in this NDAA, by the way. Gary from Decatur, by the way, is Puff the Magic Dragon. Yes, sir. That was a predecessor to current day Spectre. By the way, I've got a souvenir, Boomer. Next time you're at the house, I got to show you. Spectre gunship. You ever seen a Spectre gunship?
Not in person.
Oh, well, Lord. Man.
I would love to. I mean, there's so many things of the military and stuff. I see pictures, right. And I'm like, remarkable.
I'll be honest with you, man. The Spectre gunship, having watched it actually in combat, it's amazing what it can do. But I've got on my shelf at home, Operation Anaconda was the name of the operation to attempt to get bin Laden and the Taliban when they were running through the Tora Bora Mountains at the beginning of the war in Afghanistan. And I was over there at the time, met up. My team was infilling through Uzbekistan. We had a special operations base up in Uzbekistan called K2. And that's where the Spectre gunships were stationed. And they would launch out every night and go do their raids and sorties over like Tora Bora and others. I met up with a Spectre gunner one day in the chow hall or someplace, and I said, "Hey, dude, what's a guy got to do to score one of those brass 105 shells?" And he goes, "I will square you away." So sitting on my shelf at home is a 105 brass shell casing that was fired over the Tora Bora Mountains in Afghanistan from a Spectre.
Oh, man.
It's a trophy.
I need to see this.
It is a trophy.
Wow.
All the stuff in the end. How did I get off on this? Oh, I know why we were talking about A-10s.
That's
here
right.
I am talking about. I'm talking about defense spending, and I got off on the war story. Didn't mean to do that. But, hey, listen, a couple more things that are in this bill. We're going to cover it when we get back. Just so you know, we'll wrap this thing up here in just a few minutes. What's going on with money for Ukraine? Money for security for Taiwan? How about things like, is there going to be reinstatement and back pay for those who lost their jobs because of the vaccine mandates? And then for that matter, what about Space Force? Anything in this thing? How about a Space National Guard? I'll tell you all about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, before we go any further, I got to tell you folks, my friends Riley and Jackson Law Firm down in Birmingham, they are a Birmingham-based firm that works all over the state. And Riley and Jackson has been doing some bang-up work on veterans-related issues. So here's the thing. If you are a veteran of the Marine Corps, and you were stationed at Camp Lejeune between the years 1953 and 1987, or for that matter, you might have been a dependent, or even just there on training or TDY as a contractor, if you were at Camp Lejeune during that large window of time, 53 to 87, you may well have been exposed to what has been confirmed to be contaminated water that has been tied to up to 19 different major illnesses. Riley and Jackson's got like five attorneys working this issue, and I wish you would check them out. They've already got several of our Right Side clients already, or Right Side listeners already as clients. But the other thing they wanted me to let y'all know is that if you were a firefighter or in the military using firefighting foam, they are right now working a major case that clearly indicates that if you were exposed to a carcinogenic version of firefighting foam, that you may well have a claim. So I would just encourage you to give them a call. They will not charge you for the call. They will talk through it with you. They'll let you know if you have a claim, and they will not charge you ever a dime unless they get money for you. So here's the deal. Riley and Jackson, they're based in Birmingham, but they work all over the state. They'll take your call from wherever you are in the listening area. Here's their number. Are you ready? 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000. And please tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And what's that thing I got to do? No promises made that the quality of legal services provided is better than the quality of legal services provided by some other law firm down the road. That's what I was winging that a little bit. I think I better do a better job of that one next time. All right. Hey, by the way, I just saw a text on the text line. Boomer pointed it out to me. John from Decatur says, an A-10 saved my bacon south of Baghdad. Got pinned down in Al-Jarrah. Pilot said, hold on, I got you. Three birds, and the battle was over. Love that. Thank you for your service, John from Decatur. We got several great texts on the line. JT from Lazy Springs says A-10's an aerial can of whoop something, you know, and then says my youngest sister used to say retiring the A-10, that's not dumb, it's just dang dumb. I agree, man. I'm gonna miss that thing. Listen, what else is in that NDAA? Now, keep in mind, it's not done yet. They got to get through the Senate processes. Senate Armed Services appears to be ready to advance a version of the bill, but there's still some debate left to be had. And if nothing else, the floor debate. If it passes the Senate, it's still got to get signed off by the president. Right now, we are seeing that the House was able to pull the vaccine mandate and defund that, and to put policy positions in place that would not allow it to be in place. However, I appreciate Senator Tuberville a moment ago saying that it does not address, and he's very concerned about it, does not address reinstatement for those who lost their careers because of that just awful mandate to include giving them back pay. And I would also add to that and their time for a merit-based service, time leading towards promotion points and that kind of thing. That's got to be addressed. Other things that are in the bill. First of all, there is a provision in there to provide additional aid to both Taiwan and Ukraine. $10 billion, it says, in military aid for Taiwan, which includes measures to address foreign military sales and training. So $10 billion in military aid for Taiwan, that's a direct affront to China. It also says they have $800 million more in the budget for Ukraine security assistance. I will point out, though, that there's a discussion in the bill about a framework on the IG's oversight of the Ukrainian funds because of growing skepticism on the Republican side about where all the money's going and do we truly have, a good grip on the fact that it's being spent in the right way. I just saw, by the way, it broke news a little while ago. It looks like Patriot missiles may be heading over to Ukraine, which I got a news is going to be a game changer if it does. And then this compromise bill, it also says on here, it has some provisions in there that lifted what they called complicating measures about arms transfers to certain countries. So basically, there were those who are opposed to the idea of assisting Saudi Arabia with arms or providing additional arms to groups that are not necessarily nation-based, but they are ideologically based, like the Kurds fighting in Syria, I'm sure. So we'll see how that goes. Last thing I got out of this, because Chuck Schumer says this thing's coming up. He says they'll consider it this week. It'll be roughly an $858 billion package once they get it on the floor. I'm hoping there's going to be a little bit of fiscal constraint. They won't pork that sucker up any more than they already have. But I will say this, one of the few places where I see big spending as being a thing that has to be examined is when it comes to providing for our military and making sure we have the best of what it takes to fight. Last thing is, the NDAA does boost the new Space Force budget, all right? $3.63 billion in procurement funds, adding about $447 million to what the president had asked for. What it didn't do, and kind of surprised people, is it pulled out a provision to create a Space National Guard. That had been pushed by the National Guard Bureau, but that was stripped out of the bill in negotiations between the Republicans and Democrats as they were wrangling over things. I guess that was seen as, well, we don't have it now. Let's just don't start that one and we'll save the money. So they put the money somewhere else. Either way, Space Force got a plus up and a bit of a setback, but Space Force is still a growing member of the force. We'll see how that goes in years to come. All right, listen, we're going to switch gears. We're going to come right back. I tell you what, I'm going to open the text lines. Boomer, prepare yourself.
All right.
here's a Christmas-based question.
Oh.
I'll be dealing with number three on the Triple Dipper, but I'm still curious. In your opinion, and here's the text line number, if you want to text your answer into this, 833-687-4448. Since we talked about movies today, Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? That's my question. Come out to the city, have a few laughs. Who knew? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? The text line is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT.
And remember, it's for text.
Text. Don't light up the phone lines.
Don't light up the phone lines.
Boomer's saying, hang on, Phil. Is it a Christmas movie, Die Hard, a Christmas movie, or not? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.